Yesterday we started discussing Ksamim, we started the introduction to Ksamim, so we still have a little more of introductory stuff left to do, and introductory stuff relates to Sif Aleph, obviously, and then we're going to move on to Ezra's Hashem, to the size of the Kesef, to the shear of a gris, or more accurately, gris va'od, which would be metame mishum Kesef. Shear of a gris is not metame mishum Kesef, but there are just a couple of lamdisha chakiras that we have to discuss when you talk about Ksamim. First thing is not really a chakira, but it's a line of questioning that a couple of the Acharonim have, and that is that why is it that we don't follow normal rules of sfeikos over here? I mean, the whole idea of a kesem is that we're not really sure what this dam is. We don't know if this dam is her dam nida or not her dam nida. So there is a mechanism within the Torah that allows us to account for sfeikos. So what happened to that mechanism? But this question comes in two forms. It comes in the form of the Kesef Mishnah, and it comes in the form of the Nodav Yehuda. So let's take the Kesef Mishnah first. The way the Kesef Mishnah asks the question in the ninth paragraph of Yisuri Bia, Halacha Beis, and the Taz quotes it over here in Sivkatan Beis, the Taz says the same question, except he says it as Ein Lahakshos, that I have a Svek Sveka. After all, you have a Svek Sveka by every Kesef. Safik im yatsa mimena ome alma. I don't know if this blood came from her or it came from somewhere else. Vimtim slom mimena emer lamina makarasi. And even if it came from her, maybe it's not dam mina makar. Maybe it's dam mina stadim dam from somewhere else. That's not really mina makar. So it should always be a svek sveka. Maybe the blood came from outside of her. And even if it's from inside of her, maybe it's min ha'aliyah, min ha'prosdor. It's not min ha'makar. The Gemara on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis tells us that Rov Damim Min HaMakar. So Pashto says, Kesef Mishnah says, yeah, that's true, Rov Damim Min HaMakar. But for a Svek Sveka, you don't need both Svekas, to be exactly 50-50. You can have a Svek Sveka, even if one of them is really a Rov, that's enough to be Mitzdarif to a Svek Sveka. There's a major discussion in Achronim, whether we would count a Miut as part of a Svek Sveka. In order to really get through this, you need to go through all of Klalei Svek Sveka and figure out who holds what. But the simple reading of the Kesef Mishnah is that the Kesef Mishnah, of course, is going to acknowledge that Rov Dam is Min HaMakar, but it's still good enough to count for a Svek Sveka. Even if you don't count a Miut toward a Svek Sveka, the Taras HaShlam points out that against the Rov, there's a raya from the fact that she didn't have a hargasha, that it didn't come in a makar. I mean, dam in a makar is usually accompanied by a hargasha. So even though that's normally a Rov, so normally you would imagine that it comes in a makar, but there was no hargasha, so that's a counter indicator that maybe it didn't come in a makar, maybe that evens it out to a svek sveka, to make it a 50-50 suffix. So that's Kesef Mishnah's kasha. Kesef Mishnah himself gives two answers to this kasha. Taras HaShlamim quotes both of those answers. The Taz alludes to the fact that the Kesef Mishnah gives answers. He just says, well, because Mishnah nasan terutzim, he gives terutzim. Taras HaShlamim lets us know what those terutzim are. So terutz number one that the Kesef Mishnah says is just simply, you're messing around with an Isser Karis over here. He doesn't say Isser Karis, he says Isser Chamur, but that's what he means. Nida is an Isser Karis, it's a very, very severe thing, and therefore we're extra strict, even though you're right. Normally, even on Dinam Daraisa, we're Mekel on a Svek Sveka, but, you know, this is Nida. We don't want to mess around. I was listening on the way in to Rav Ezra Schwartz, when he was teaching this, and he somehow thought that this tells us something, that even after Chumrat Rabbi Zeira, that we're still concerned for an Isser Kares. I don't know what the Chiddush of that is. Of course we're still concerned for an Isser Kares. Meaning, even after Chumrat Rabbi, what was Chumrat Rabbi Zeira? I think we mentioned this yesterday. Chumrat Rabbi Zeira is that even if you see just a little bit of dam, you have to be observed Shivanakim as if you're a Zav Gedola. But a little bit of dam with a Hargasha is still an Isser Kares on a Torah level. Could still be a Nida Doraisa. So of course we're going to be machmir. Of course we're going to call this an Isser Karis. So I didn't really understand what he was handling with. But the Pashup Shak, as the Mishnah says, we're dealing with something that could be an Isser Karis when it's in its full form. Even just a little bit of dam would be an Isser Karis if it's real dam nida. So even though it's a Svek Sveka, we're still going to be machmir. Second answer the Mishnah gives is that, you know, there's really no reason to assume that it came from outside of her body. Meaning, she did not go through a shuk shel tabachim. If she had gone through a shuk shel tabachim, then she'd even be tahora midrabanan, right? That's one of the tlios that you're, it's a classic tlio mentioned in the Gemara, that you're allowed to, that you're actually allowed to rely on. But there was nothing, there was no event that happened. There was no scrape on her knee. There was nothing, there's no hemorrhoids. There's no yeast infection. There's no shuk shel tabachim. There's nothing else that she can point to that she could say, oh yeah, that could very well be where the dam came from. And absent anywhere else to point to say that that's where the dam came from, so there's no real doubt if it came from her body. So it's not really a svek sveka. So essentially, answer number one says, enochinami, it is a svek sveka, and I don't care, because this is a very serious isser that we're talking about over here. Answer number two says, no, there's no svek sveka, there's no suffix that it didn't come megufa. Of course it came megufa. Where else do you think it came from? There's nowhere else. I mean, that's not a reasonable suffix to assume that it came from somewhere else. The Taz also goes with the line of thinking that it's not really a svek sveka, but a little bit differently. The Taz says, Ein lahakshos have a svek sveka, safek im yatsa mimena omei alma, vim tim tzulam mimena im alav mina makarasi, ukemoshe matzim besim kufpe zayin sifhei, yesh lomar dikivan derov dam, she yotze mea isha, she ein lamaka, Asimimakar, if you have a woman who's healthy, doesn't know of any injury, doesn't know of anything that's bleeding inside of her, and then dam comes out, rove of that dam is minamakar, lo nechshav zeh, l'safek klal. You can't call that a safek, that it's lav minamakarasi. Where else do you think it came from? Meaning he turns that into a rove, that rove dam is minamakar, which we already acknowledged. Yeah, the Kesef Mishnah probably was aware of that rove also. It's a Ferish Gemara that that's a rove. But the Kesef Mishnah thought that you could still be mitzarev, a rove and mia to a svek sveka. But the Taz says, no, that takes it out of the category of svek sveka. It's not a svek sveka at all, because rove dam is minamakar, so it's only one suffix. Is it from her body or from outside of her body? The Taz then raises, what about the Ramah in Kuv Pei Zayin? So he says, what about the Ramah in Kuv Pei Zayin? What's the Ramah in Kuv Pei Zayin? The Ramah in Kuv Pei Zayin by Dam Achmas Tashmish also utilizes a Svek Sveka in the case of Rod Dam Achmas Tashmish, that if she has a Maka, maybe it's Minat Stadim, and even if it's from the Maka, maybe it's from Dam Maka in the Maka. So that's the Svek Sveka with Dam Achmas Tashmish. Maybe it's from a Maka Minat Stadim, and even if it's not from the Stadim, it's from the Maka, maybe it's from a Maka Minat Maka. So the Taz asks the question, how the Ramah could use such a Svek Sveka? After all, once we have this Rove, that Rove Dami Minat Makar, it shouldn't be a Svek Sveka anymore. So I don't really understand his answer. His answer is, Dahasam Yesh Maka, Ve'efshar Shi Minat Stadim, Valze Koye Svek Sveka. I guess what he's saying is as follows, that, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm just talking out loud, you know, thinking out loud over here. I guess what he's saying is as follows. Rov dam min hamakar means that when you have a perfectly healthy woman that doesn't have any injuries, so there's a rov that the dam comes min hamakar. It's not a chazaka in a female body that all the that rov of the dam comes min hamakar. No, women cut their finger and women scrape their knee and women have sometimes yeast infections and they have all sorts of other things that might bleed that will come out of their body. That is not dam nida. So therefore, in the case of the Ramah, we're dealing with a woman that has a maka. So once you're dealing with a woman that has a maka, that rove no longer applies. So now it's fair game to say svek sveka. So I think it's from the maka minat stadin, and even if it's not from the maka minat stadin, maybe it's from the maka minamakar. Maybe it's from a maka in the makar. Right? That's the svek sveka of the Ramah. So Torah Hashlamim comments on this. Vataz kasav the yeshomet kimdor of dam sheyotzim in the isha bomin a makar lo nechshav zel l'safek klal. The Taz writes, meaning not the original statement of the Taz, that in our case it's not a svek sveka. There's only one suffek, because if it came from her body, you know where in her body it must have come from. I vein lahakshav mash kasav a mas svek sveka b'sim kuf bezay sefei dasim yesh maka. The Ramah saw a woman that has a maka. Ve'efshav shumin at sadan v'alzeh koi svek sveka. Says the Taras Hashlamin, Ube emes midivri Ramah le'el simen kufei zayin mashma, the suffix rishon hu shema ba'min at stadim v'lo machmas maka. Di imlo kein, hakol shem chada sveka hu. O machmas hamaka o lov. The in country sfeikos lak el klal. He's got a problem with the Taz. He says, wait a second. What's the svek sfeik of the Raman Kuf Pei Zayin, the way the Taz touches it up? Maybe she has a makam in atzadin, and even if it's min a makar, maybe it's from a makam in the makam. Says the Taz Hashem, that's one suffix. Is it that makar or is it not that makar? That's the whole suffix. So he says, it must be that the suffix of min atzadin is not a makam min atzadin, it's dam min atzadin. I have no idea what that means. Do we have such a thing? Dominant studen, that's not dominant. Isn't that the definition of damata? Dominant studen. So I'm not sure what he's driving at over here. That he says, you know, that it's dominant studen, and therefore it's not a svek sveka. I don't know. I found this difficult to understand. But he says the Taz can't mean what he sounds like he means, because if he means what he sounds like he means, then the Rama is saying really one suffix is not a svek sveka. It's either damata or not. Meaning, the Rama, the way the Taz touches up the Rama, is suffik, maybe it's da makam in atzadim, and even if it's not da makam in atzadim, it might be da makam in a makar. That's one suffik, that's not two sveikos. Okay, so you got to answer that kasha, I understand, that's a kasha. But it doesn't mean that you can invent a new category called da min atzadim, that's not da maka. Right, so how do you answer that kasha? So the Achronim work on it. The Achronim say it's a pretty partial answer, actually. They point out that l'chora, you can say a svek sveka, something we consider svek sveka, as long as there's a nafkamina between the two tzadim of the safek. So, for example, whether there's dam makam in a makor or dam makam in a tzadim, chaps a nafkamina lahalacha. It's not a nafkamina for tumah of the isha, but a nafkamina of tumah of the dam. Makar makomo tameh. And therefore, if the dam makah came from the makar, the dam is going to be tameh, and it will be metameh whatever it lands on, as long as the thing it lands on is mekabel tumah. Whereas if it's dam makah minat stadim, it will not be metameh whatever it lands on. So why the Torah Shalom rejects the Taz, I don't really understand. But then the Torah Shalom gives his own nir l'aniyas daiti, and he says, av l'aniyas daiti nira, tahayinu tayim davi svek sveka, Mishum de itrulan ruba, kivin de rov nashim ein rov machmas tashmish bimakar. He says the reason that counts as a svek sveka, even though I don't think it should, says the Taras Hashlamin. Because why don't I think it should? Since rov of the dam comes from the makar, he says no. But rov of the time, women don't see dam machmas tashmish, and therefore it's a legitimate svek sveka. It's a legitimate svek sveka. Umei hai taimin, he says, and once you're going to say that, so then you can bring it back to our case. Chashav hachagam kein svek sveka. Aye, what about the rov? Rov dam comes from a makar. Rov nashim argishin ba'atzman, says what we mentioned before, imroz dam. So it's a laruba vavi svek sveka gamur. Most women have a hargasha when they see dam. This woman didn't, so therefore it's a good svek sveka. Im lav mitayim shekasav kesamishna. So if you don't like the kesamishna's answers, meaning if not for the answers of the kesamishna, this would have a legitimate problem of being a svek sveka. Meaning, essentially what the Torah Shalom is telling us is that the Taz tried to answer why it's not a svek sveka by saying that rov dam is min amakar. Says the Torah Shalom, yes, it is a svek sveka, because rov dam min amakar doesn't help you over here. Why doesn't Rav Dam min HaMakar help you? Because you don't have a Hargasha, so it's an indication that it wasn't min HaMakar. So it really is a Svek Sveka. You have a Suffolk, whether it came a Gufa or not, and even if it came a Gufa, maybe it wasn't min HaMakar. So it really is a Svek Sveka. And therefore, you need the Kesef Mishnah's answers, says the Torah Sashlamin. The Placey, Crazy Placey, is not sure how this could be considered two Svekos. Meaning, l'chora, all that matters is did it come in a makar. Whether it came min hatzadim, or it came mi chutz l'gufa, l'may nafkamina. Right? Either way, it's nothing. And therefore, it's not really a svek svek amasapich. Right? Svek svek amasapich, you have to be able to say it in both directions. Right? So what's the two svekos? Maybe it came mi gufa, or maybe it came mi alma. And even if it came mi gufa, maybe it's not min a makar, right? Say it the other way. Maybe it came in a makar, or maybe it came min atzadin. And even if it came in a makor, maybe it was mechutz l'guf, and it doesn't work, right? It's not a svek sveka misapich. So mele, the whole svek sveka is a failure. It can't be a svek sveka. So the place doesn't even understand how the kasha gets off the ground to begin with. It's not such a plea, though, because Achronim point out that the mechaber doesn't require svek sveka misapich. That in the klali svek sveka, the mechaber doesn't require svek sveka misapich. And who's the one that asked the kasha about the svek sveka originally? That's Mishnah, so that's the mechaber. So you can't like reject it as a svek sveka, playing by his own rules, because so it's a good kasha on the Taz, right? That the Taz thinks it's a svek sveka, or is at least bothered why isn't it a svek sveka, where he feels like he needs to come on to the fact that there's a rove. So it's a ha'ara on the Taz, but l'chor, it's not really a ha'ara on the Kes of Mishnah. In in the Pischei Nida is Chachmas Pitzala, right? He has that separate sefer, big fat sefer Nida, Masar Rav Kook put out. So in Pischei Nida, he writes that it is a svek sveka. It is a valid svek sveka because it does chap nafka min alahalacha, whether it's dam minat studim or dam michutz l'gufa. Now we said before there's nafka min alahalacha whether it's dam makom min amakor or dam makom minat studim, right? That chaps nafka min. What would be the nafka min, whether it's dam makom minat studim or dam michutz l'gufa? So if it's dam michutz l'gufa, what exactly is it? So we don't know. We don't really know what it is. It could be from anywhere. So it could be that nafkamina would be, let's put it this way. What's the classic case of the Gemara? That it's, what? Ma'acholos. Okay. Yeah, that's right. Ma'acholos. Well, that's a little bit, I mean, when we talk about tlios, shuk shel tabachim is the classic example. So it's animal blood, right? Animal blood, is it makshir l'kabel tuma? Yeah, right? Meaning it's one of Zayin Mashmim, it's makshir l'kabel tuma for sure. Says the Pischei Nida, he doesn't think dam min ha'aliyah is makshir l'kabel tuma. It's not regular circulatory blood, it's some other blood that's in there. It's not dam min ha'makar. He thinks it may not have a din of dam to be makshir l'kabel tuma. You got to prove that, right? I don't know, but that's what he suggests. So might chap nafkamina la'alacha, and once it chaps nafkamina la'alacha, then it can go back to being a svek sveka.
Even
a toes,
the mice, that's not really a tchum as well. It's not nafkamina begabi hilts neither. It's a hechsher tumah.
Right. But nevertheless, as long as you could salvage it as a svek sveka. Yeah.
So that's answering why it's not shemecha, but it's still not mishapik.
Right, still not mishapich, but it's at least not shemechad. Right.
When we discussed mishapich in Kuf Bei Zayin, so we said, if it makes logical sense why you have to address one suffix
right.
before the other one, then it's not.
Then you don't have to worry about the mishapich.
First figure out it's in our body before you can figure out whether it's
from right. So that would take care of the mishapich problem, and then the shemechad problem, if you buy what the Pischei Nida is selling, right, so then it would solve the shemechad problem. Yeah.
Is there any star whatsoever to say that the dam is not dam?
Yes, I don't know. We got to look at that Pischei Nida. It doesn't seem to make sense to me because l'chora all dam is makshir l'kabel tuma. But I don't know. That's what he says. So that's all the Kes of Mishnah's kasha. Kes of Mishnah's kasha is based on svek sveka, right? It's based on svek sveka. The Nedbi Yehuda, Madurakami Yerdei Simin and Beis, asks differently. He says, let's say you know that the dam was not min aliyah. Let's say you know for sure it was not min aliyah. We could still ask, why in the world were they gozer on the suffix that it came mibachutz, if after all there was no argasha? Which means that at worst, if there was no argasha, even if it came from her body, she's only a nida midrabanan. So since the worst case scenario is that it's nida midrabanan, and there's still a chance that it came mechutz l'gufa, so isn't that a suffix rabanan? That's a nedvidas. I don't need a svek sveka because we're only dealing with din drabanan over here. Even if it did come in a mocker, there was an argasha. So in the predeya, Simon Kuf Tzadi Turei Kesef Sivkatan Beis, he points out that sometimes we are machmir by a svek drabanan, and that's why the Kesef Mishnah was motivated to daf ask about svek sveka. Okay. Meaning, sometimes there are exceptions to the rule of Safek Drabbanu Lekula. Generally, we're making on Safek Drabbanu Lekula, but not always. Okay. The Nadvyuda says something a little more creative. Says Nadvyuda. He says, when Dam comes min amakar, right? If you have Dam comes min amakar, she may not be a Nida, but Makar Makom Otame. So the Dam will definitely be Metame, whatever it's found on. I mean, even if it was Dam Makom min amakar, the Dam is going to be Metame, whatever the Dam is on. And it therefore makes sense that we'd be Metame the Isha as well. Why does that make sense? You know, there's a discussion in Rishonim why it is that when you find the kesem on a davar sheino mekabel tuma, the woman is not tame, but on a davar mekabel tuma she is tame. Right? Why were they gozer ksamim when it lands on a davar mekabel tuma? So the Ran explains that we're metayer kesem on a davar sheino mekabel tuma because only when we would be metame the beged does it make sense to be gozer tuma on the isha. But if you're going to say, oh, the beged is tahar, it's going to be very difficult to understand why the isha would be tame. And so we just try to equate them. We try to make it less confusing for people. Oh, this beged is tame? Good, the isha it came out of is also tame. So when what the Nodibut is adding to that is that even if the dam might have come mibachutz, in which case it won't be metame the beged, but it's a safek whether it came mibachutz or mibifnim, and therefore you have to be metame the beged misafek. So once I'm being metame the beged misafek, I'm going to be metame the isha as well. So again, what was the Nodibut's kasha? Say safek drabal lakula. She didn't have aragasha. You don't know where the dam came from. Could have come mibachutz, could have come mibifnim. So it should be safek drabal lakula. Says another Yehuda, you're right that it's a suffix. But what would that mean for the beggar that you found it on if it's a suffix? The beggar that you found it on would still be tame. If I don't know if it came from the makor, I don't know if it came mibachutz. The beggar's going to be tame. And once the beggar's tame, memela the isha's tame. Because we always align them with each other. His chiddush beyond what the Ran had said, meaning the Ran has said, and that's why a kesem on a davar mekabel tuma is tame, the isha is tame because the davar mekabel tuma is tame. But he went a little further because he said even if the only reason we were metame the beggar was based on safek, we're still going to be metame the isha. L'chaora, that would only work in a rishos hayachid. I mean, the beggar being tame based on the safek. It's only if Safi Dum Rishos Yachid is Tame. Safi Dum Rishos Rabim is Tahar. And over there, it's like, it's Mamish Shail of Tumentar. It's not a Shail of Isra Vahadra. How we apply it back to the woman is an issue of Isra Vahadra, but it's really Tumentar. So I'm not sure about that. So that's one line of questioning. What about all the Sfeikos? Okay, for whatever reason, Chazal goes Uksan. So all that was nice academics. Bottom line. Chazal goes that there's a tum midraban, that the woman is asa midraban mishum ksan. The other chakira, also just in the mechanism of ksanim that I saw, and now I think, oh, it wasn't sent out on WhatsApp yet, but Rav Salvechik not yet published Rishimos Shiurim, Nida has another chakira. He says, what's the geder of takanas ksanim? Is it that midrabanan, a yitzias dam without hargasha will be metame? But it's the dam coming out of her body that was actually metameher. It's just that even without hargasha it was metameher. Or is it that finding a stain, the event of finding the stain wherever you find it, whenever you find it, is metame the isha? Meaning it's not that, oh, I'm worried. This could have come out of her body. When? When did it come out? Maybe it came out 2 hours ago, and therefore it turns out she was tame since then. No, it's not the event of the blood coming out of her body. The blood came out without her gasha. It's not tame here. Maybe it's just finding a stain. Chazal say, you found a stain? Tame. Now. Those are the two tzadim of the chakir of Rav Salvechik. Again, is the geder of takanas ksamim, that midrabanan, a yitzias hadam without hargasha is tameya, and the mitzias hakesem is only a hechitimtza to be mevarer that she already had a yitzias hadam beforehand, but she's really Tameh from the Shas Yitzias Adam, or were Chazal simply Misakim, that there's a Chalos Shem Re'iyah Chadasha when you see the Kesem. Seeing the Kesem on a Derabbanan level is like the body expelling dam. So the Metzias HaKesem is the Metameh, not the previous Yitzias Adam. Okay, now a chakir is only good if you have some nafkaminas or some applications. Yeah?
Well, should you look for a stain or not? And if the dam could be telling you whether or not you see it, that you would want to know whether you have blood. But
no, I think everyone would agree there's no obligation to look for ksavim. Because all things means rabbanon. So you don't have to. Chachamim were never misakin that we have to look for ksavim. In fact, sometimes we even recommend doing things to avoid ksavim. Right, I mean, we always women wear big day tzavonim whenever they don't have to wear levonim. Right, they always wear tzavonim. Why? Because we'd rather avoid ksavim. Rabbi Forst even suggests that if a woman in the middle of her shiva nekiyum keeps finding ksavim, change her underwear 5 times, meaning that way they will never be bigger than a gris. I don't mean 5 times over 7 days. She should do more than 5 times over 7 days. I mean, like multiple times within a single day. Meaning, not only do we not look for ksamim, we even, like, try to avoid ksamim. Right? Every kala teacher tells the kala, I think. I've never been in a kala class, but I assume that every kala teacher tells the kala, don't look at your toilet paper. You don't have to look for these things. So, what's the nafkamina in this chakira? Yeah?
So, what you just said, what do we say on time of freya from now?
The thing is, we're not metame l'mafreya. The question is, are we metame her now? Because we don't know when that was. But are we metame her now because she had that event back then? I mean, that's Farish in the Gemara, that ksamim we're not metame l'mafreya. Even the mandi amar that you're metame me isla'ism of kida l'fkida. But everyone agrees, by ksamim, the Gemara says at the beginning of Nida is dayashaita. So by ksamim, we're definitely not metame l'mafreya.
At what stage is this fakir coming into play? Because what Rabbi was just saying about how we encourage woman not to look, why can't the chakira be that we hold by a certain side of the chakira?
Okay, in a chinami. But let's see how Rav Soloveitchik applies it. I hear what you say. The Gemara Nun Tesem Beis, which hopefully some of you saw, the Gemara says, Yashval Safsal Shal Evan Ola Itztava Shal Merchatz. She sits on a stone bench. Rabbi Nechemya Metaher. Why? Rabbi Nechemya Omer called Avashen Mekabal Tumah and Mekabal Ksadim. Because it's not Mekabal Tumah. So if it's not Mekabal Tumah, it's not a Kesem. Good. Gemara Nun Zayinam Beis. Bodka Karka Olam V'yashva Leho Matzadam Aleha. Shmuel, right? Bodka Karka Olam. She checks the ground and she sits in it. Then she stands up after, after she, when her bus comes or whatever, whatever she's waiting for or the kumzitz is over. I don't know when people sit on the ground. But she, so she gets up and she looks at the ground and there's dam. There's dam where she was. So what does Shmuel say? Tahora. So Rav Ashi on the top of Nun Ches Amud Aleph, right? Rav Ashi associates the two. He says, Shmuel holds like Rabbi Nechemya. Why is she Tahora when she sits on Karka Olam? I, Ksamim, should make her Tamei Midrabanan. Because Karka Olam is not Mekabal Tumah. So if it's not Mekabal Tumah, it's not Mekabal Ksamim. The Rambam in Yisuri Bia Perek Tes Halach HaZayin paskins this way. Kesem Shanim Tzal Dov Shanim Mekabal Tumah. Tor v'inu choshesh esol keitzad. Then he goes on to say, "Afilu botka karka v'yashva le'avanim tzakesem al karka kisha amda arezu Torah shakol she'eno mekabel tumah lo gazra al kesem she'imatze bo." Says Rav Soloveitchik, this is difficult because if the blood came out of her body, why would it matter whether it's found in something mekabel tumah or not mekabel tumah? Meaning, if what's metame her is the blood leaving her body, where it landed happened later, you shouldn't be able to reassess later. Mashal Ma'adavadome. Rabbi Neuberger was just telling me this morning that there's a tshuva in Chalkas Yaakov where he discusses blood that came out on a red garment, and then the woman took the red garment and wiped it on a white garment. Now she's got bigger than a gris of red dam on the white garment that she knows, was originally in her underwear. So now what? So the Chalkas Yaakov is Meikil. Once that kesem was tahar, it remains tahar. You can't go back and undo what was already done. So says Rav Soloveitchik, how could it be that finding a stain on the Davar Sheinu Mekabel Tuma is mitair, if the point is that a Ri'as down below Argasha is Tameh? So says Rav Soloveitchik, it must be that the Geder HaTakana is that the finding of the Kesem, not the event of its emergence, is what's Mitameh. And where did you find this Kesem? You found it on a Davar Sheinu Mekabel Tuma. You can only, what the lumdus of that rule is, okay, we'll leave that for the Ran and for the Rishon. But you can only have such a rule if it all starts now, if it all starts when you find it. But if you're going to assume that it was the Yetzias Hadam that was actually Metameher, then you can't have a rule that's going to say, oh, and later when you find it on the ground, all of a sudden she's not Tameh. He says that explains begadim savonim as well. The Gemara says in Samach Alvin Beis, begad savu mitamim shum kesem, according to one shita, Rabbi Nosson Rabbi Yosef Amreinu mitamim shum kesem. And the Rambam Paskins, v'lo mekabel tuma elam kein hayo lavan, aval kleit savonim ein choshen lekesem enimtza behen. That implies that the basis of begadim savonim is similar to that of Davar Sheinu mekabel tuma, that the gezeirah is on the finding of the kesem, not on the event of its emergence from the body. And so says Soloveitchik, if that's true, it's quite a chiddush, no? That the, right? How would you have, like when I first said the chakira, you know, which side were you voting for in your mind? The other side, right? You know, of course it's the dam coming from her body that's actually metameir. Elamai, you only find it later. That's just the mitzias. So that gives us the echidimtza to be able to say that when the dam came out, it was mitamir. But Rav Soloveitchik is suggesting that the other side is true. That only at the shas mitzias akesem. That's what Chazal were misakin on. And he says this explains the Rambam, Shitas Rambam about havara sammanim al akesem. The Rambam in Mishkav Moshev, Perek Dalet Alach Yiralev, writes, Kolak sam matmein, whenever you have a kesem that's tameh, so ma'avir alein shiva sam manim. You take shiva sam manim, seven detergents that they would use to be able to test if it's dam or not. You know, nowadays they have like a lab test that you could see if something is dam or not. Right? So they used to have shiva sam manim, that they would wash it to see if it's dam or not. V'achar kach, Bein avar kesem, bein lo avar matbilo v'tohar. Once you use these shiva sammanim, you use these detergents, you can then tovel the baguette, even if the stain remained, because it didn't clean it off. It didn't work. And everything is going to be tohar. Why? She'im lo avar klal, if the stain is totally unaffected by the shiva sammanim, harei utseva. That's a raya that it's not done. That's a raya that it's, I don't know, tcheles or something, whatever. Something that doesn't move by the sammanim. That's a raya that it's not dam. V'im avar okeha, but if the stain gets cleaned off or dims, hareza kesem. Then it's a kesem of dam. But you could still be tovel the baguette. Omeach shover lev sammanim kvar batil. But since it went through the detergent process, so now it's already batel. Whatever dam was there is batel. Afal pisha rishum unikar, even though you still see, you know, remnants of the stain there. So it seems to suggest that even a kesem that would not disappear with the seven detergents. I mean, what's chiddush this Rambam? Okay, if it's dam, let's say we've ascertained that it's dam. Why can I be tovelin and be mitar the baguette? Because the dam is already batel. Yeah, I still see it, but it's already batel from the shiva sammanim. That's not the part that's troublesome. The part that's troublesome is the other part. What did the Rambam say? Nothing happened. The red stayed. It's totally intact. Therefore, it's a raya that. The what? That it's not done. So what would you do if it's not done? You have a baguette. It has on it red magic marker. Red paint. What's the halacha now? Tahar, use it. What does Rambam say? Tovel it, and now it's tahar. Why on earth would you be tovel it? I mean, if it doesn't budge when you're mavir the zayin sammanim, why in the world would you be tovel it? That goes Maimonios in Isuri Bia Tes Ost Tzadi explains that the fact that it doesn't come off with the Zayin Sabmanim does not show that it was never blood, but just that even if it might be red magic marker, red paint, and even if it was blood, it is so balua in the beged that it no longer has a din of blood. It's not metame the isha midin kesef, but it actually may have been blood that was metame the beged, and therefore the beged needs a tevila. Meaning it's not like this or that. It's not, oh, if the Sanmanim remove it, then it's blood, and if the Sanmanim don't remove it, it's not blood. Even if the Sanmanim don't remove it, it might be blood. But it's blood that's so absorbed in the beged that it no longer has a din of blood. It now has a din of tseva. So says Rav Soloveitchik, the logic is that even though b'mitzius, it's damnida, and the beged is therefore tmeya, the woman can still be tahora, because the blood emerged without hargasha, and the entire takanas kesamim was not on the shas yitzias adam without hargasha. Not that if she has yitzias adam without hargasha that she's tamei, but that the mitzias hakesem is mitamei her. So by the time she finds the kesem, it's already not a din of blood. Then mela, it has a din of tseva, and the woman is tahora. Yeah, the beged you'll have to be tahora. But the woman is tahora, right? That's what the Rambam's paskening, that the woman is tahora. That's only according to Agos Maimonides' answer as to why you would need to be tovelit. Magen Mishnah says, tovelit, because it's possible to save any safek, you just tovelit, you might as well. You know, the less lumdish answer, but probably pshat. The problem, says Rav Soloveitchik, is that the Mishnah, Nun Beis and Beis. Yeah, so what did he do so far? He's proven that it's the Shas Mitzias HaKesed that determines everything. It's not the Shas Yitzias Adah. So he says, my problem is that the Mishnah, Nun Beis and Beis, says, Haro HaKesem, Harezu Mekulkelas V'Choshashas Mishum Zov. And Rashi explains, what does that mean? When she has a Kesem, she doesn't know her Pischei Nidus to calculate when the Yud Aleph Yom Shebei Nidah L'Nidah is going to be. Meaning, if she actually had Dam that came out of her body, that's Metameir. So now 7 days of Nidah followed by Yud Aleph Yom of Ziva. And if not, if there was no Dam that came out of her body, that's Metameir. So then you don't restart these 7 days of Nidah. That strongly implies that the Tumah is based on when the blood emerged, not when you found the blood. Right? If it's about the Pischei Nida, it sounds like that's about, you know, when the blood came from her body. And Daf Nun Vav, the Mishnah says, V'chein kesem nintza b'chaluk, metame l'mafreya, ad shiomer bedakti as ha'chaluk hazev lo haya bo kesem, ad shas ha'kibus. The Mishnah says, that what? You find a stain on a beged, and she says, oh, I checked this beged and it was clean 6 hours ago, so we assume the beggar's been tame for the last 6 hours. But if the whole thing is only mishas metzias hakesem, why would it be tame at all, l'mafreya? So if Salvech suggests to maybe fit it all together, is that the kesem is the metame. It's not the yitzias adam that's the metame. But it's not dependent on the Zman Metzias HaKesem, but on the existence of the Kesem. Meaning, it's not the blood emerging from her body that's Metame. It's the existence of the Kesem that's Metame. But it's the existence of the Kesem, not the Metzias HaKesem. So if a woman is Ro Kesem, it could be that it's Tamei L'Mafreya, and it could be that it's Mekulkelas L'Minyana, because she doesn't know when the Kesem began to exist. I mean, what was this whole problem with the Mekulkel Zeminyana Mishnah? Is that, why is she Mekulkel Zeminyana? If it counts as Nida, right now, when she saw it, that's when her 7 days of Nida begin. Why would that be Mekulkel Zeminyana? So he says, no, because it doesn't start right now. It starts from whenever that Kesem was first there. And that she has no idea. That's why it's Mekulkel Zeminyana. but it's still not the Yetzias Hadam that's actually Metameh. L'chora, that does not help with the Rambam about the Zayin Sammanim, because at the time the stain was created, I'm sure it was moist, and it could have easily been removed by the detergents at that time, so of course she should be Tameh then. Meaning if it's really at the time of the existence of the Kesem, when that Kesem began to exist, certainly she was, it was moist, and therefore she was Tameh. Okay, that's all the lumdas for the introduction to Kesamim. Let's get into some halacha now. And every step of the halacha that we're going to be doing over the rest of this week is very nogeh l'maaseh. I'll try to give examples of how this comes up as we go. So today we'll start with the Shir Kegrispa Ot, right? That's our topic. So the Gemara Nun Chesem Beis. Hargama Acholas, a woman kills a louse. I don't know if that's the right translation, because these things are like no louse we have ever encountered, right? I mean, I guess makas kinim, you know, like must have been a maka for a reason. But hargama acholas, hareze talaba. So she could assume that since she's been killing lice all day, that if she sees dam, it came from that. Fine. Says more, hargama acholas, harga in, lo harga lo. Whoa, only if she actually knows that she killed a louse, only then she can be told that. Masnisa mani, Rameshungun Leel hi. Oh, that must be assumed like the sheet of Rameshungun Leel. Ditanya, harga tola, lo harga, ena tola, di Rameshungun Leel. Rameshungun Leel says she can only be told by Macholas if she actually killed a louse. V'chamram ben kach tola. V'cham say, nah, whatever dam you find, even if you haven't seen a louse in years, it's fine, you can always be told. Rameshungun Leel says, you know what? Neither of our shittos make any sense. L'dvarai ein kates, u'l'divrei chaverai ein sof. Meaning, according to me, that you actually have to kill a louse in order to be tola ein kates, because shein l'cha yishu shetor l'bayla. No woman is ever going to be tola l'bayla, because shein l'cha chal mito mito, shein bar kama tipe dam, dam acholas. Every bed has all sorts of... apparently, it used to be an epidemic. I mean, every bed has all these blood stains from acholas. So I'm going to say, unless she knows that she killed the louse, what about every time she rolled over in the middle of the night and crushed another five lice? And every bed has that. So every woman will always be tameh. One of the Achronim said, ein kates means, it's based on the Gemara in Nida and elsewhere, that ein ben David ba'at sheikh l'kal neshama shabaguf, that Mashiach only comes when all the neshamas come out into this world. So if the women are always tameh l'ba'alehem, so in Kates, we're never going to have the Kates Ayavim. We're never going to have the okay. Right, if nothing else, you got that makes up for all the specs vacant stuff, right? L'divrei chaverai ein sof, and he says, and according to the Chacham, ein sof shein l'chayisha shehina Torah l'mayla. Every woman is always going to be Torah because all the tipei dam that you have, macholas must have been macholas. I don't even have to know that there was macholas. Oh, so it must be that there's a compromise opinion. And over here, Allah is kedivrei hamachria. Aval nir and divrei Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus midvarai umidivrei hem. Shoyomer ad kama hitola, ad kegris shalpul, uledvarav anumodin. And we all agree to the middle ground opinion that you don't have to have killed the louse, but you can't just be somek that everything is fine up until the size of a gris shalpul is good enough. And, you know, for our purposes, we're going to call that an American pen. Because that's what all the poskim say. That's what the majority of poskim say it is. In the Crazy Aplacy, there's a little circle drawn, and you put a dime over it. It fits perfectly, but I'm not sure if they ever shrunk the printing. You know, when they tried from the original printing, they probably didn't think of it. Like, you're just reprinting a safer. You don't think of size diagrams, you know, making a difference. Remember when I taught in DRS 1 year, one of the rabbin came into the office before Pesach to make photocopies, and I saw what he was copying was one of these charts of how many of how large a kazayas of matzah is, you know, a kazayas of maror, but it didn't fit on an 8.5 by 11 page, because it was, I don't know where he got this chart from. It was very chumur. It wasn't Rav Schechter's, you know, this, you know. So he just shrunk it in the machine. I'm like, well, you know. It doesn't really work. I mean, it's fine because it's way more than a gazayas anyway. But you know, the whole thing is so. I don't know if the place is dime, but there are poskim that say as small as a dime, which is quite a chumra. A few years ago, someone told me that why you put out a some sort of hilchos nida basics thing for Kala teachers or something like that, and they were consulting with Rav Simon Shlita. So he just wrote, up until the size of a nickel. What? Nobody holds that, except for Avei Abadi. So that became like the Wayu Psak, but that's not the Wayu Psak. It's not anybody's psak except for Avei Abadi, really. Meaning, everyone assumes that the size of a penny. So that's what we're going to call it. We're going to call it, even recognizing that there is some debate whether it's a dime, a nickel, or a penny. Thank God, the Ruach HaKodesh of our founding fathers, or whoever made the currency, I'm sure Gabe will tell me afterwards. whoever decided on these exact sizes. It aligns perfectly with all these shittos, but that's what we're going to assume. The major shaila, the major discussion in Lamdas, and it touches on so many halachos over here, is how do we view this din of smaller than a penny not being a problem? Is it a tliya like any other tliya? It's just like walking through shuk shel tabachim, that a small stain probably came from a bug. Or is it, no, that Chazal simply never goes there on a stain smaller than a penny. It's just the nature of the din. There never goes there, but it doesn't have to be a reasonable taliyah. If it's a taliyah, then it shouldn't work anymore, right? Because thankfully we don't have lice to that extent. And even when we do have them, they don't create blood stains the size of a penny. I don't know. We have different kinds of lice than they had. I'm told in Israel everyone has lice because the mahalich is to ignore it. In America, the mahalich is to like burn your entire house down and start again, start life all over again. But in Israel, the mahalich is to just ignore it. So my sister just went to Israel for the year with her family. My brother was working there this year, so they all have lice. She's like freaking out. But everyone said, yeah, that's part of it. It's part of just moving to Israel. But I don't think that means that you have, that every time that they, that these lice, it would probably be easier to find them if these lice were so big that every time you crushed them, it left a stain the size of a penny. So Chassam Sofer has an important comment. And Chassam Sofer writes that maybe it really just is, it really is just a tliya. And yet we're still allowed to keep this halacha nowadays. Ooh, why would that be? Because in principle he says, the Ravid b'shem the Bala Eshkol is correct. What did the Ravid say in the name of the Eshkol? That the entire Chumrah of Ksamim was really initially instituted for Taharos and not Labayla. And therefore, it really shouldn't apply at all nowadays. The whole inyan of ksamim shouldn't apply nowadays. The only reason we were ever metame in isha on account of ksamim was that they thought it would be confusing to be metame the item without being metame the isha from whom the blood came. So that's how the isha got in on the tumas ksamim. But really it was about tumantara of whatever the kesem was found on. That was the core of the din. So consequently, now that we don't have taros to worry about, the ancillary tumah on the isha also shouldn't be a problem. Right? It shouldn't be an issue because that was only secondary. That's the Ravid in the name of the Eshkol. The whole ksavim shouldn't apply nowadays because it was only there, agav, the tumantar issue. We don't have a tumantar issue, maybe we don't have a kesem issue. Nevertheless, says the Chassam Sofer, we still observe Ksamim because Minhag HaVaseinu B'Yadeinu. But it makes no sense to observe it more strictly than they did if we're only doing it as a Zeicha L'Davar. Meaning, in Achinami, in the times of Chazal, it was an actual Taliyah. And therefore, in the times of Chazal, if you happened to live in a place that was very sanitary and didn't have any lice, in Achinami, a kesem smaller than a penny would be a problem for you. But since nowadays, the only reason we still observe ksamim is because they did it and we're just remembering what they did, even though the whole basis of tumas ksamim doesn't exist anymore, so no one's going to say we're going to have to observe it more than they did. You know what reminds me of the vart that they say, I think they say B'Shem Rav Soloveitchik about Haseba, right? About Nashim and Haseba, you know this far? The Rav Yahol's that we don't do Haseba Bizmanazah. Right? Because when you're free and rich and whatever, no one leans. It's not the way people lead. It's just uncomfortable. Anyone ever like comfortable when you're leaning and doing a seva? It's not like, it's just not the way, it's like annoying to do a seva. You know, I'm told, like, Rabbi Weider has a whole mahalich on how to do it properly. He gets a couch and the whole thing, like, I don't know if it's on a toga or whatever, like, to really get into the way that it used to be done. But it doesn't make sense anymore, says the Rav Yah. So what does Rama say? So nowadays, Nashim are somchos on the Rav Yah. Women are somech on the Rav Yah. So what's the obvious kasha? Why aren't we all somech on the Rav Yah? I mean, the Rav Yah is either right or he's wrong. Right, so why aren't we all Samech on the Rav Yah? So I think the vart that they say in the name of Salvechik is that there's two din. There's a din, it already sounds like him, right? There's two din. There's a din of Zechel Nes and a din of Presume Nisa. Presume Nisa is that I'm demonstrating freedom. That Rav Yah says, that doesn't apply. You're not demonstrating anything. No one sees freedom when you lean nowadays. But there's also a din of Zechel Nes. This is what they did, so it's what I'm going to do. So the part that they say is Zeichel Denes, women wouldn't be chayiv because mitzvah shazman grama. But presume nisa in yadim, women are chayiv because afin oibelsanes includes mitzvahs of presume nisa. But the presume nisa element doesn't apply anymore, right? So mela, you have to think back to what we, if we're just so the only reason they would be doing it is presume nisa. And for men, why do we do it? You're right, there's no presuming needs. It doesn't apply. We're doing it because they did it. Zechel Nes. So if they did it, we have to do it. That's all that's left of the mitzvah of Haseba. Because that's what was done. I don't know why it reminded me of that. I guess Chassam Sofer saying that observing Ksamim is because they did it. Aye, but they did it only because they were observing Tum and Tara also. Yeah, okay. But they did it, so we're doing it too. And therefore, it doesn't make any sense to add on to what they did.
Yeah. And it's unbelievable, right? But is this ever used by a post-Kibbutz?
No. Yeah. I think the Rav himself in Balei Nefesh disagrees, but he quotes this from the Eshkol. There's another Mahalik, Lechem V'Simla, and this one I just came across this morning. This could be very helpful, the Lechem V'Simla. Lechem V'Simla writes as follows. He says that Chazal never meant to say that a single ma'acholus would produce a full gris of blood. So what kind of lice were these? They're producing a gris of blood? He says, much more likely, it's the chashash that multiple ma'acholus were crushed together and all together would produce up until a gris of blood. What's the obvious kasha? Huh? If you're being chashash for multiple... It's as big as you want it to be. It could be a quarter, a dollar, whatever. As long as you have enough ma'acholos. So he says, the reason they were makel up until the gris was that they found it more reasonable to assume that multiple ma'acholos got crushed than that a flow of blood would be so small. That it's so abnormal for a woman to have such a tiny flow of blood that it was more reasonable to assume multiple ma'acholos. Meaning, lahalacha tibestam kechardel z'metamei nisha. But when does that ever happen? When does a woman have argosha and see a tibestam kechardel? When a woman gets her period, she has a flow of blood. So they thought that given the options, where did this slightly smaller than a penny size stain come from? Did it come from a real hargosha with riyas dam and whatever? And she doesn't realize it. Or did it come from multiple ma'acholos? Probably from multiple ma'acholos. And he says, that's why we're told about ma'acholos, even though our lice are way smaller. Because their lice were also way smaller. That was the whole din. The whole din was that there were multiple ma'acholos. Of course, that doesn't explain why we're told about ma'acholos, even nowadays that we don't have lice around like they did. Meaning, if anyone were to say, oh, in New York, there isn't any mita that doesn't have kama v'kama tipe da, and that statement would be wildly inaccurate in our reality. So it doesn't help for that. Why was I so excited about this, though? if it doesn't help really answer the... Meaning, we have two questions on the Tliya B'Macholos thing. First of all, we don't have lice at all. Second of all, even if we did, even when we do, they're not nearly as big. So he answered the second half. Even when we did, they're not nearly as big. Don't worry, Chazal's lice weren't so big either. But he didn't really answer the first half. What got me excited about this is that I don't know of anyone else, I haven't seen everything yet, but I don't know of anyone else that looks at quantity as an indicator of Ri'iyas Dam. Meaning, we were discussing yesterday, I think it was yesterday, how Rabbi Willig used to say, if it's enough to put in a pad, or if Moshe's, if it's the size of four quarters, so that would be an indication of a Ri'iyah as opposed to a Kesem. And the whole thing always bothered me. Why is quantity an indication of anything? Tibastam Kachadl makes a woman a Nida. Say Nachinami. Tibastam Kachadl does make a woman a Nida. But quantity could still be an indicator in the sense that most women, when they bleed, do not bleed such minuscule amounts. So, granted, he's using a different quantity, but he's saying that's what was built in to the Gezerah of Ksamim. That's what was built in. So now the question becomes, yeah.
Where does he learn that from?
He says he just can't believe that there's machos that have such big blood stains.
No, but that it would be more likely for something that's...
He's just trying to figure out, so why did Chazal come up with this number? So it must be with this measurement. It must be that they thought that it's not shaykh, that a woman's going to... Or it's less shaykh that a woman... Even though tibasam chazal would be enough to be metamir, but it's not shaykh that a woman's... It's not so shaykh that a woman's going to believe a tibasam chazal.
And if that's the case, why doesn't Rav Moshe's... Half the Abba's a lot larger.
Yes.
So where did that jump from? This is the only basis for a size.
Right. I'm not saying that he's saying the same thing as Rav Moshe. I'm saying that he's acknowledging that quantity might be a factor. That's all. The big question, though, is l'may nafkamina, whether it's a taliyah or not. Right? L'may nafkamina, whether it's a taliyah or it's a real din. So the most obvious nafkamina is whether we can rely on it today. So, the Sefer Yerayim is quoted in the Lechem Asimla and quoted in the Pisgei Tshuvos of Katan Tess. Don't rely on it today. You don't have such a taliyah. You don't have these macholos around. And we, of course, do rely on it. There's even a discussion Rav Azan has in Shevet HaLevi. Let's say a couple decide they want to, they want to win the frum contest. They want to be the frummest people on the block. So, his tzitzis are already dragging on the floor, and his hat is so big, and they don't know how to win the frum contest. So they decide we're going to be machmir for the Yerayim. That's going to be our chumrah. That even kesem smaller than gris, that we're going to be machmir. So, two questions. Number one, are they allowed? Are they allowed to take a sheet of the Yerayim and be machmir for it, to not rely on bugs and gris at all? Number two, if they are, does she make a bracha on the tefillah? Rav Vazner says yes and yes. That they're allowed to be machmir, and she would stay a bracha on the tefillah, because it's a legitimate sheet that they're being machmir for. In a chenami, we don't pass them that way, but it's a sheet that makes a lot of sense just when you read through the sugyas, because the whole thing of the gris was based on macholos. We don't have macholos, and Meili can't. The Yerayim says he can't be samech on this anymore. What I want to go through next time is the six nafkaminas, whether it's a taliyah or not, and see how those things play out in halacha. Turns out we're mekel on all of them, but still, it's kedai to go through. It's a good exercise to go through the six nafkaminas, and through that, we'll learn some of the seifim in Shulchan Aruch, and then we'll talk about some of the technicalities of measuring a gris. There are a lot of technicalities in measuring. It's not an easy thing. You think, it's just if it's smaller than a penny, so as long as I have a penny, it will be easy to measure. Not so easy. There are different stains are not always perfect circles. And by that I mean they're never perfect circles, and they're often made up of different colors, and how do we account for the different colors? So we'll have to get to that next time. Have a great day, everybody.